I have many family members and friends who have some severe food allergies. They're always checking the labels on food to make sure that there aren't things in there that would give them a strong reaction. It's when the foods that they're allergic to are mixed in with other things that their allergies become really dangerous. If they just saw a thing that said peanuts, nothing else, they could say, okay, I know that that's what I'm allergic to, I can avoid that. Or if there was a big bag that said gluten, and say, okay, I'm not going to touch that, I'm allergic to that. But when those things that are bad for them get mixed in with things that they want or things that are good, those become particularly dangerous. Half-truths mixed in with truth can be even more dangerous to us than a full lie. Things that are partially true or mostly true, but have a little bit of falsehood, can be even more dangerous and can lead us down a worse path than things that are full lies. Today in our gospel, Christ the Lord gives us the parable of the weeds and the wheat, where the devil sows in the field of God, trying to distort and pervert all the good that God has done. Notice that the devil doesn't try to create a separate field of just what is wrong, but he goes into what is good to try to lead others astray, to lead others away from God, because it's much harder to spot those partial lies or those little lies mixed in with the truth. Today in our world, people try to pervert the truths of the faith, adding weeds that confuse and lead astray. These are people inside of the church and outside of the church. They try to get people to believe and practice evil or erroneous things. Sometimes these are intentional, but oftentimes they are just mistakes because the people saying these things were misled themselves. They believed truth with an admixture of error. The world might tell us things that they might not say that there is no such thing as sin, but they might say sin is just a personal thing between you and God. You have no need to go to confession. That's fine. Just tell God you're sorry on your own, but don't go to the church. You might hear people say that the church is out of touch or mistaken about things about morality. So we should just try to judge for ourselves what's right and do what's right according to our own judgment. They might say that going to church is an optional thing. As long as we try to be good, that will be enough. We'll be good enough to get into heaven just by doing things ourselves. I might say marriage is a good thing, and it should last a long time, but it's not permanent. We can decide when it starts or when it ends. And countless other lies or half-truths that distort what is true just a little bit. And these things can be dangerous for our faith, and they can even be deadly. Because if we start to believe these false things about God, if we allow ourselves to be duped by these partial falsehoods mixed in with the truth, we'll start believing incorrect things about God. And when we come to the end of our lives and we meet God in heaven, we might end up saying, I don't recognize you. I was believing in something else. I don't want to be with you forever. This isn't what I signed up for. And if we believe incorrect things about the church, when we enter into the body of Christ, the church triumphant in heaven, we could end up saying, I don't know you. This isn't what I believed in. I don't want to be here. So we need to watch out for those things that are seem kind of right, but aren't fully true. Those little lies that creep in, planted by the devil or in the world. So why would God allow this to continue? Why would he allow people to be misled, or people who mislead others? If we look back to the very beginning of the Bible, this has been a problem since the garden, when the serpent didn't lie to Eve to lead her to the apple to betray God, but just twisted God's words a little bit and led her into sin. If God all of a sudden said, okay, nobody can say anything untrue, he would take away our freedom so that we could freely love him. But also some of us might be in trouble. Those of us who maybe have held on to some of those untrue things, those false teachings, God is patient with us and wants us to have time to convert and turn to him. He wants to give us all room to grow and all people to have time to turn away from misleading things. When commenting on this gospel passage, St. Jerome wrote that for room for repentance is left, and we are warned that we should not hastily cut off a brother, since one who is today corrupted with an erroneous dogma may grow wiser tomorrow and begin to defend the truth. Our first reading from the Book of Wisdom also talks about God's patience with us and how we can have hope that we can all receive God's mercy because he desires our repentance, our turning away from what is false and turning towards him. This is why St. Peter writes in his second letter that the Lord is not slow to his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient with us in our little failings, and he gives us time to turn to him and turn away from those things that aren't of him. So what should we do to avoid those weeds planted in the good field, the weeds that are mixed in? One thing that we can do is to stay close to the saints and those really holy people that the church has given us, to not just look to anybody who's saying anything about the church or about what we believe, but to turn to the writings of the saints, particularly the doctors of the church. We have 38 saints that the church has given us in a special way to teach us and lead us to the fullness of truth. 38 saints, doctors of the church, and we just got a new one at the end of last year, St. John Henry Newman, and their writings are specifically approved, and they're known for their orthodoxy to help lead others closer to the fullness of truth. Pope Leo has recently been talking about confusion of a belief based on hearsay. People believe things because they heard some other person saying it. You might hear on the news, this is what Catholics believe, or your neighbors might say, this is what Catholics believe, and we start to take them at their own word. We don't end up being rooted in the truth. We start to be led astray by those little lies mixed in. So we all need to protect ourselves from being led astray by those little weeds mixed in with what is good. Some of you might be very well educated in the catechism or know a lot about theology, but none of us are in heaven yet. So there's always more to learn and always more ways to grow in understanding of our God who is infinite, to know more and more about the God who is love and to be able to love more parts of him. The more we know about God, the more we can love him. And we're not meant to study or learn about God as an act of navel gazing or just to know trivia, but to really help us fall in love with God. Some people will say that, well, studying theology or reading the catechism, that's great for priests or nuns or religious or people who are super Catholic, but for the rest of us, you know, I'm just a regular person. I don't need to know a lot about theology. But there's not a secret hidden theology that priests study and that we keep away from all of you. All of us are called to know more and more the God who wants to be discovered by us, the God who has revealed himself to us through Scripture and through the teachings and traditions of the church. All of us are called to know in the ways that we are able the God who knows us, so that we can know him forever in heaven, so that all of us can plumb the depths of the mysteries of God and be firmly rooted in his truth.